So, Michael, of course, another major story that we're going to be anticipating over the next couple of days, and if not the next week, certainly, and I'm sure next week on the morning show, you'll be covering it with Pamela and with Christy, Mimi et al., is the grand jury decision in the case of Darren Wilson. You may have heard, of course, I think we've been talking about it, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon saying that he'll call the Missouri National Guard should, quote-unquote, violence erupt after the decision is announced. He had a press conference on Tuesday. He also said that more than 1,000 law enforcement officials have completed 5,000 hours of specialized training over the past 2 months. Wonder what that means, what specialized training actually is, in preparation for the verdict, which will, again, be announced any day now. Everybody's watching closely what's going to happen in Ferguson. You know, in addition to the National Guard, there's also, you know, a number of different police agencies in the area in St. Louis County and other city and highway patrols and police forces will follow the same command after that. So again, it's being talked about and prepared as a war zone once again, without really focusing on the issues at hand. And if you look at the coverage, Michael, I don't know if you've been watching it. Sometimes I get sucked into this nonsensical media coverage. It's almost the one component that's completely absent is the fact that Ferguson is not just Ferguson, mm-hmm. right? It's a much broader, much larger. It has come to obviously represent a much larger issue, and it's impacting the entire country.
Well, you know,
and indeed the world, and that's what we're going to be focusing on this.
Well, things that the activists in the community have said, no matter what happens, they're going to be in the streets. Now, nobody said that they were going to be in the streets throwing rocks, bottles, Molotov cocktails, but they are going to be in the streets. That's what the community has said. So we're going to be looking at that.
Yeah, and indeed, that's the focus of a town hall meeting that's taking place tonight here in New York City. We'll give details about it. It's at the All Souls Church and up in the Upper East Side, Lexington and 79th Street. We'll give more details about that in a second. The town hall meeting is going to be focusing on this issue, the subject or the name of the event tonight, The Fire Next Time, Ferguson and the Myth of a Post-Racial America. And the moderator of the event, I think it's going to be a very special event with all the people involved, but it's very important that Kali Akuno is going to be the moderator of the event, and he'll be there tonight and is in New York City, and he joins us now on the line this morning. Kali Akuno was a lead organizer of the nationally recognized Jackson Rising Conference. He served in the administration of the late mayor Chokwe Lumumba in Jackson, Mississippi. He's an organizer with the Malcolm X grassroots movement and has done a tremendous amount of other work. His bio is too long to mention here, but he devotes his time to Cooperation Jackson, which is an incredible experiment in community grassroots organizing and building, in many sense, an alternative to the capitalist corporate structure that has devastated so many of our communities. It's such a great pleasure to have you on, Kali. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, and welcome to New York.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Just to begin with, your reaction, your feelings as again, the Missouri governor and forces in Ferguson kind of prepare themselves in this fashion that we just outlined.
Well, you know, I was there a little more than 2 weeks ago, meeting with some allies, some old comrades there from the Organization for Black Struggle, just doing some training and investigation. And they are well prepared. They have militarized the entire area, not just Ferguson, but throughout St. Louis County. And as you mentioned, they're fully prepared and engaged to make it a war zone. And I think a lot of their announcements are very specifically around intimidating the community, trying to quell the upsurge and the intense level of ongoing activity the community has been engaged in now for over 2 months, demanding justice for not just Mike Brown's, but the murder that have preceded Mike Brown's murder in the community. So there's a level of kind of really inciting violence in the way that I think that they're kind of portraying this in the media as a means to justify the level of repression, you know, to execute on the community. And I think that's what people need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there and saw the tanks and things that they already have rolled out in a number of strategic places throughout the community. And they've been doing a number of experiments. You know, they were doing some experiments the day I got there, which was on a Friday, of turning off the cell phone towers and turning off electricity in parts of Ferguson and St. Louis. And folks knew part of this was an experiment because they're on two different breaker systems, the two communities that are adjacent to each other, which is a well-known fact in that community. But the power was out very strategically for 8 hours. You know, so folks thought that that was a test, one amongst many that's going on in that area.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is the grand jury so-called leaks that came out in many ways used to discredit not only the story about how Brown was killed, but also, mm-hmm. but also in many ways to kind of neutralize, if not totally discredit, the mobilizing and the organizing that has been going on, almost as if, well, what are they talking about? They're organizing for the wrong reasons. You know, this
right.
So your thoughts about that? How the community has responded to that, notwithstanding the intense media scrutiny that resulted as after those so-called leaks?
Well, I mean, that's part of the playbook. You know, that's part of the playbook of the state, particularly in reaction to determined community resistance. You know, what happened with Trayvon? You know, let's just go back, you know, not too long ago, not in the distant past. And the trial of George Zimmerman wound up becoming the trial of Trayvon Martin. I mean, the media was very complicit in Zimmerman's defense in turning the case against Trayvon to, you know, trying to criminalize it. And if you go back even further, I'm just excited, another kind of popular example, what happened in Los Angeles with Rodney King and the trial of those officers who had beat him. You know, they did everything they could to demonize Rodney King and try to justify kind of his chemical dependency problems at the time as a justification for the vicious beating that he received. So this is just part of the playbook. It's been used over and over and over again. Oftentimes, you know, I think most people in our community, particularly Black and Latino communities, see through that, knowing the reality of their communities, knowing how police are so intrusive, oppressive, invasive in our community, knowing how things are planted systematically on a number of youth to justify them being arrested, beaten, tortured. So the reality often in certain communities trumps kind of the perception the media is putting out, and then pervading that kind of perception only deepens the resolve, I think, of many to fight back. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing in St. Louis, because folks know the truth. They know how the St. Louis police for decades have been used to terrorize the community. So they just don't buy the excuses and say, well, okay, even if he did do X, Y, and Z, that doesn't justify him being murdered in cold blood in the
right.
street.
And
so
left
there's
in,
no equation.
And left in the street for several hours. Kali, speaking of the media, we saw over the summer some problems, some outright interference with the media and their ability to properly cover the events that were unfolding in Ferguson. Do we know anything, talking about looking at what the authorities are doing there now in preparation for this the announcement of the grand jury? Do we have any idea of what is being prepared or what the media is doing, in fact, in preparation for this?
Well, most of the media, I mean, if you look at it, most of the media is just kind of, you know, touting this line that's being promoted by the governor in particular about violence and that it won't be tolerated, which is just sending a clear signal that they're going to be setting up roadblocks, they're going to be monitoring communication, and that they're probably going to enforce some variant of kind of a no-fly media zone so folks can't get a good view as to what is going on on the ground from the media. And part of this, if you look at their analysis, you know, they're saying that in particular alternative and grassroots media painted the wrong picture. I mean, they've used that phrase and they've used some other things trying to make sure that grassroots media and progressive media weren't on the scene to kind of give a detailed account of the types of repression the militarized police forces were doing. And they've leaked that several times, that they're going to make sure that there's a no-fly zone, that there are limited zones where media can be And that I, from what I saw myself with my own eyes here recently, they are well prepared and willing and determined to make sure that that happens when this grand jury verdict is announced.
So there are some media restrictions that are going to be in place, as far as you know, as you're witnessing what you have observed.
That's what I've seen, and that is what they have leaked out. Now, you know, how do we put a lot of faith in these leaks? I would say I would, just given, you know, how the media was treated, particularly in August, the first several weeks in August, being restricted, being attacked, cameras taken. So I would bet that that type of activity is going to continue and increase.
Right. But I would also bet the community is prepared, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. But obviously the other thing was what you mentioned earlier, the cell phone towers, and if they're manipulating right. that technology, obviously to make communications much more difficult, people have to remain vigilant on that front. We're speaking with Kali Akuno. He's a lead organizer. He's actually a member of an organizer with the Malcolm X grassroots movement. He's also, I want to talk about Cooperation Jackson, Kali, in a moment. But I want to take this beyond Ferguson on a national level and tie it into tonight's town hall meeting. The Fire Next Time, Ferguson and the Myth of a Post-Racial America. I mean, you're in Mississippi, or right now you're in New York, obviously, but you work in Mississippi. And this is what I reiterate that my feeling is that the news media, the traditional corporate mainstream news media, continue to focus this as a local thing. And I would imagine there in your community in Mississippi, people are preparing for this grand jury announcement. And talk about its significance in the communities that you're organizing and mobilizing around on a daily basis.
Well, communities are organizing in Mississippi, throughout Mississippi, and they're organizing throughout the country. I think this is another wave of kind of an emerging consciousness in many communities, not just the black community, that's been developing over the past couple of years, where folks just aren't buying the narrative. They know the reality of both repression and lack of economic opportunity and growth, and how that's impacting their real lives. Folks are angry, folks are upset, and figuring out different ways that, number one, that they can kind of push back and fight back, but also kind of create alternatives. So this is going on all throughout the country. I mean, we saw just in October a pretty significant wave of very coordinated resistance, you know, from what took place in Atlanta with some of those youth, college youth, who blocked the freeway for a while. Some of the things that took place in L.A. with folks occupying some of the federal buildings and some of the other kind of court proceeding stuff on the local level, dealing with both local and national cases. So there's an emerging consciousness and a level of organizing and activity that we haven't seen, I think, since Occupy, quite honestly, that's been generated around what's going on with Michael Brown. And folks all over the country are preparing for the day of and the day after to hit the streets and send a clear message that we're not tolerating this, that something has to be done, that the system has to be changed, and that certain demands are going to have to be met. Otherwise, there may be an intense period of noncompliance activity that's taking place. And we need it. We need it. So I'm one who's very happy to see another younger generation getting themselves prepared, getting themselves organized, and engaged to such the extent that they are. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, and part of what seems to be going on, talking about the national aspect of it, there seems to be a level of coordination that's taking place and dialogue that's taking place between the grand jury issue in Ferguson and the grand jury information that folks are waiting for here around the Gardner case. The feds seem to be definitely trying to coordinate it to ensure that there are not two sparks that kind of go off in the same at the same time. You know, one here in New York and one in Missouri, in the heart of the country, because they're trying to figure out how to deal with that and what, you know, how to contain it as best they can. So we need to be prepared, I think, for that and raise our consciousness level of organizing to also engage on a national level. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned alternatives, and that's perhaps in the last couple of minutes that we have, Kyle, we can talk about Cooperation Jackson and how that's actually a manifestation of or an example of many other experiences like that, where the real threat to the structural foundation of the system that we see most visible with the police shootings of the kind that we saw in Ferguson and we see here in New York and elsewhere, but a real threat to that system is not the sudden visual uprisings of communities on the streets and the police shooting them and National Guard troops, but it's this organizing that is taking place on a grassroots level, building alternative economies, building what we can call solidarity economies, fleshing out grassroots networks of cooperatives, and that includes education, that includes healthcare, that includes, and again, these long traditions for many years, but always kind of ignored and kind of written off. But you're involved in that in Mississippi, in Jackson, Cooperation Jackson. Could you talk a little bit about that and how that is an alternative that indeed is a threat to this bigger structure?
Well, that's a long conversation.
I know. In 30 seconds.
Well, I mean,
I want to get you back, and because this is one of those issues that I think we here on the morning show have to talk about more and more of, because we see more examples of it across the country.
It would be my honor to come back and deal with it, but just briefly, I think you touched on it. What we're building is an alternative to a form of economic organization, which is determined to keep certain of us at the bottom of the totem pole forever, so that we remain exploited, remain a cheap source of labor, and just remain degraded. We're challenging that, upending that as best we can by pulling our resources together, engaging in autonomous and self-generated economic activity, but trying to raise it to a level where we can replace the oppressive structures and economic processes that take place in this society. We're very conscious and intentful about not just having our own small little co-ops here and there, but replacing this overall capitalist system through economic democracy being developed from the grassroots level. Anyway, that's what we're working on.
Right. Well, I do welcome the opportunity to bring you back and get more in depth on that, and again, bring other examples from around the country where this is happening, and indeed around the world, where this exact process that you're building in Jackson is occurring, and hopefully transforming not only the immediate communities, but on a national level as well. So, Kali Akuno, I want to thank you for joining us. Just quickly, a word about tonight's town hall meeting. Again, it's The Fire Next Time, Ferguson and the Myth of a Post-Racial America. It's taking place tonight at 7 at the All Souls Church. Any quick thoughts on that as we close out?
Just hope to see everybody there. We're going to have a very serious discussion about what this means and what our communities can do to not only fight back, but to build these alternatives. That's going to be a central part of the conversation.